أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلنا من قبلك إلا رجالا نوحي إليهم فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. بالبينات والزبر. وأنزلنا إليك الذكر لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم ولعلهم يتفكرون. And before you, the rasuls that we had sent were men to whom we had sent inspiration. Then inquire from the people of learning if you'd not realize this. And we had sent them with clear proofs as well as divine scriptures. And we have sent this message to you that you may clearly explain to mankind all that which has been revealed to them and that they may reflect. Man sometimes in his obstinacy, he refuses to see the good, he refuses to see the right. And he wants to see things like how he would like to see. So one of the questions that they would ask is, why aren't the Anbiya sent as Malaika? So this is not unique with Islam. The Anbiya and the Rasuls at all given times and in all eras were sent as men. Not a single Nabi had come as an angel or as a farishta. All of them had come as men. So this answers this objection of theirs, that why isn't the Nabi an angel or farishta? Why is he sent as a man? So if this was something unique with Islam, then it was something to ask, inquire about why this is going against the tartib and against the sequence. But when all the Anbiya in the past were sent as men, then this is not something to ask and question. But if you do not realize this, then ask the people of learning, ask the people of knowledge. Under this, ulama explain that the verses of the Quran and the ahadith will be of two types. One where it is easily understood by one and all and sundry understand it very easily. Matters whereon there is consensus amongst all jurists, all ulama, matters which are clear in the message in the Quran or the Hadith, they really, we don't require an alim to guide us in these type of matters. Like everybody knows that tawaf is done in Makkah Mukarramah. Really, you don't need to go and investigate this. We have no doubts about the Fajr namaz having two rakats for us. So these matters are understood very easily by all and sundry. So we don't need any type of an expert to come and explain us these type of issues, because it's known to all and sundry. Then there are those facts and that which requires greater understanding and greater knowledge. So justice and fair play requires that which requires a greater understanding and greater knowledge should be referred to those people that have that greater knowledge and greater understanding. Then we look within ourselves, people that had the greater knowledge and greater understanding with the Imams, they had led mankind and they had shown the various and all the departments of deen, whether it was business, whether it was ibadat, whether it was tilawat of the Quran, any dimension of deen, they had shown it and they had explained it clearly and completely. And if you look at any other person, then the path is not as clear as the path of the Imams They had shown every department of deen and clearly and perfectly. So if you look at the knowledge was comprehensive and perfect. If you look at the levels of taqwa, then the levels of taqwa had exceeded the levels of taqwa of all people that came after them. So they were perfect in the knowledge, sound in the understanding, and their levels of taqwa also were as high. So in both taqwa and knowledge, they were perfect. And if anybody came after them, if he had that level of knowledge, then it was not supported with the level of taqwa. And on the contrary, if he had the level of taqwa, he didn't have that level of knowledge. So in that respect, people that came after them were deficient. They went at the same level. So it is just logical to follow the person who was most perfect in his taqwa and his knowledge as compared to the person that is not complete and perfect in these regards. Sometimes he is deficient in his knowledge and understanding, and sometimes he is deficient in his taqwa. So there are two types of knowledge. One department of knowledge depends upon transmission and reporting. And when we look at this department of knowledge that is dependent, that is subject to reporting correctly and transmitting authentically, then we find the likes of Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhim, that they were most reputable in this regards. Their reporting was immaculate, perfect, and we all rely upon the level of their reporting. We consider it to be very authentic, very much reliable, and we all will believe that there is no changes. They reported it exactly as it was transmitted. So there was no alterations, no changes from the time that they had received until we have reached, until it has reached us. Hence, we will give Imam Bukhari sahab, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, a preference over all others. Why do we give them a preference? Because of the level of reliability, because of the level of authenticity and reliability. We have preferred them. Just as we have preferred Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, for the being accurate and precise in reporting and in transmitting, then we rely upon Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, in understanding and analyzing deen correctly, and thereafter explaining it to the people that came after them. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is being followed for the reason that he was most reliable in his reporting. Reported precisely as he had received. Then you'll find Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is most precise in his understanding, and his ability to reason, his ability to analyze matters. So he was most precise in that regards. So in matters of reasoning, understanding things in perspective, we will follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Like in matters pertaining to reporting correctly, we will rely upon Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Ummat is agreed upon this. There is no need to have any differences of opinion in this regards. So for the smooth administration, we will say in matters of fiqh and jurisprudence, understanding and analyzing, then it will be important for the rest of the ummah to follow Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi. Now the question is, this question recurs all the time, but this does not appear anywhere in the hadith that you should follow any of these four imams. Then why do we commit ourselves in the following of these imams? So this is for the purposes of administration. For the purposes of administration, we say you commit yourself to a single imam, although there is no directive in the Quran or the hadith for you to follow any one of them. Like when we are driving on the main roads, then the administration requires of us that we drive in a single direction. that it's a freeway, and the freeway requires that all drive in a single direction. On the same road, you can't have people driving in opposite direction. One is going front, forward, and the other is going the other way around. So this will not be acceptable. And if anybody does this, then he will be penalized. We will all speak out against him, whether Muslim, non-Muslim, whether pious, impious. Every person will speak out against him. Why? Because he's going against the administration. But the administration is not God-sent. But we know if we do not listen to the administration and follow the administration, there will be disaster, accidents, deaths, and destruction. So similarly, if this is the Dini administration, if we do not listen to the Dini administration that requires of us, we all drive in a single lane following a single imam, then there will be disaster, destruction, and ruin. Hence we find the likes of Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, when it was his khilafat, so he had asked that the Quran should be written in a single script, in the script of the Quraysh, and all other scripts must all be terminated, and the script of the Quraysh must be retained, the Quran must be written and preserved in the script of the Quraysh. And the reason is that now Islam is well established, people have got the understanding of deen, and if we're going to allow these different dialects and different scripts to be written, then it's going to create confusion, complications. It's going to perhaps bring about a situation where people will distort the Quran, or they may label each other as kafirs and disbelievers. So now the preservation of the Quran requires that it should be written in a single script. So this was not something that was God sent. It wasn't from Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu is a Sahabi and the third greatest person after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet, he is not a Nabi. He can't make any additions to deen. But when he passed this judgment, there were Sahaba kiram, righteous, very high ranking people. None of them disagreed, because they realized now the preservation of the deeni administration requires that the Quran Sharif should now be recorded in a single script. Everybody agreed. So the same applies to fiqh and jurisprudence, that all ulama are unanimous, that for the smooth administration, we have to follow a single imam. It will avoid all these type of accidents, injuries, disaster, and destruction. May Allah give us tawfiq.